perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder, and thank you so much for joining Young Catholics Respond today, and thank you for following us on social media and on the web. Again, our website, patchworkheart.org. Real simple and easy. Don't forget to follow us on Patreon as well. You can know who's coming up the day before this show airs, so you can check out their website, their ministry, and whatnot, and have a little bit of teaser about what is going on. If you just make that initial $1 donation to our $1 a month donation to our ministry. But today, I am so excited to have Matt Bourgeois with me on today's program. He is the co-equal host of That Guy Show podcast, and he's also on the NSC Service Committee, which is for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And, of course, he's a husband, a father, but he also has a new company he's starting called Charis Books, which is going to be publishing Christian books out there. Matt, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for joining me today on Young Catholics Respond.
Hey, Bill, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Wow. It's so fun to talk to you. For our listeners, they will never hear the episode that we recorded live and in person a few months ago, but just because of all the technical problems we had. But I was like, I have to re-record with Matt.
So, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, so it's great to have you on, and you know, you're down in warmer Louisiana, right? And I'm up here.
Yeah.
What's the temperature down there?
Well, today it's a rainy 75 degrees, but the highs are kind of like close to the 80s, but our lows are been in like in the 60s. So it's a little chilly. I mean, you know, in the 60s, you know, we got to put on some sweatshirts and sweatpants. It gets intense around here. You know, when it drops below 60, everybody gets a little edgy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm not feeling it, dude. It's it's like 30 here. All right.
So. Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm not sure if it made it under 30 once this whole year so far.
Guess what? We had polar vortex. It went down to negative 55.
You know, a polar vortex sounds like a really cool segment on a podcast, you know,
Yeah. The
polar vortex.
It kind of is. But yeah, I was outside for about 10 minutes in negative 55 weather. The weather guy came on and said it is going to be colder in Wisconsin than it is going to be colder in Siberia. And I said, I never need to travel to Siberia.
This is why you should move down to New Orleans.
Yeah.
It's great down here.
I know. Yeah, it's a little swampy, though. Today, first of all, I was listening to a little bit of your show. I have to listen to a lot more of your show now because That Guy Show is just absolutely hilarious and a lot of fun. So I want you to talk to us a little bit about how that got started and what that is, because our listeners, especially guy listeners that are listening to this podcast, are going to absolutely love your show.
Yeah, you know, we started a show, me and my friend Will. We've been friends for a long time, and we – you know, we're talking, you know, we did a few different things together. We both worked with the youth. We were youth ministers. And then we're like getting old. You know what I mean? At some point, you kind of realize that, like, I'm like the old guy in the room. You know, like, I'm making dad jokes. Like, and me and Will were really talking about, you know, trying to branch out. And Will felt especially like a call to, like, minister more to his, like, young adult college age. And together we decided, hey, let's do a podcast. And, of course, Will, anyone who knows Will, he doesn't just like get a microphone and a laptop and make a podcast. He like literally created a studio to launch a YouTube channel and then just decided we would also put it as a podcast and kind of went all out. But so we started it a little over a year ago. So we started like February or January of 2018. And so we started recording and as a YouTube channel, and we still have the YouTube channel, but you know, life became complicated as it is. And Will and Elise sold their house, and then they suffered a miscarriage, and she got really sick and was in like the ICU in the hospital for a long time. And it was just like a wild time. So we had taken a break, almost like a 6-month break. The one thing they tell you to do when you start a podcast is don't take like a 6-month break, you know what I mean? And then yeah. start up again, you know? So, but that's what we did. And, you know, thanks be to God that, you know, Elise is recovering. She has a very rare genetic, issue. And so her and Will have been dealing with that. And we talk about that on the podcast. So we created this podcast and called it That Guy Show. And we wanted it to be a show about life. And we didn't brand it like a Christian show, though we talk about like being Catholics and what all that means. I guess the main difference is, you know, like if we interview a priest like we've done or a seminarian, you know, we just don't assume that anyone knows what those people do. You know what I mean? Like, so we sort of make the show to be like, you know, a show that could appeal to everybody. What we really were hoping was that the show would appeal to just people who may not even go to church at all and sort of like tune in, because we do talk about marriage and family. And, you know, we might talk about something like pornography one week, and then the next week we talk about, you know, what's the best breakfast burrito you can buy. You know what I mean? And we like test them out and stuff. So, I mean, we sort of have like a wider range. We don't focus a lot on like politics or sports, though we, you know, we talk a little bit about the Saints every now and then since we're from New Orleans. And of course, you know, we got that terrible no call, which we're all still recovering from.
Yeah.
So we wanted it to be about like marriage and family. And it's funny that you mentioned about, you know, women listeners, because I think me and Will, we joked like we may not have more women listeners, but women send us more like comments and emails and stuff like that. So we always joke that we think we have more women listeners than men listeners, even though it's called That Guy Show. I don't know if that's true or just guys have a tendency not to communicate. But anyway, it's been a lot of fun. It's sort of changed. It went from the YouTube channel format to the podcast format, and we're sort of learning ourselves. And so we really hit a stride again, I would say around November 2018, and we've been putting a show out once a week since then, and it's been really good. So we're really enjoying it. We're really looking forward to doing more interviews. We just got like a new system where we can actually get phone call interviews a little better, and so we're really excited about all that. So that's been a really fun thing. We did a Theology on Tap not that long ago, and we actually recorded live there at the Theology on Tap. We did like a game where people were trying to guess love songs, and then we recorded our little talk about love. So it was kind of a cool thing to kind of go like, you know, live somewhere, which is not really live. It's just a live studio audience opposed to, right. You know. Yeah. So, yeah, it was really fun. So we're really having fun with it. Will's great with the social media and the YouTube and the videos. So all the videos that he does put up, you know, they're really good and just like over the top quality for, you know, a very, you know, low budget situation. So, but anyway, it's been really fun. So we marketed the show towards adults. You know, we marked our podcast as explicit. Not that we really are that explicit on the podcast, but we just wanted to make a distinction between, we both deal with teenagers and youth groups, and we just didn't want to make it seem like this was something for them. You know what I mean? And so we decided to market like that, even though I'm sure we're not, you know, we're not really vulgar or anything like that, you know, but we just try to keep the show, you know, for adults, basically.
Yeah, there are certain topics teenagers just don't need to delve into at a full level. So that's, yeah. you know, that's good. I love the little description that's up on, you know, your podcast thing. It's a really best way to describe it, I think, is when you guys wrote it out. Late night porch conversations need to be recorded. So, I mean, that's really what it comes down to, right? It's that
yeah.
late night porch conversation. And you know what? Teenagers should be in bed. You know, that's the, you know, adults get to have those, late night, conversations. And so, you know, again, you don't have to be explicit, but it just is, but it's a great way to, uncover those issues.
Yeah. That's actually how we started. We actually got the idea for the podcast sitting on my front porch talking for hours about who knows what. And he was like, dude, this was such a great conversation. We should have recorded it.
Yeah, well, see, that's, you know, that's beautiful. I think a lot of people in today's society, and faith don't have that conversational, like, they're just not out there having faith-filled conversations in, you know, in society. You know, whether you're at work or you're, you know, out with your buddies or whatever, faith isn't brought up. So it's a good, you know, this is a good way, a podcast is a good way. I mean, your podcast, listening to it, is super conversational. You know, it is super, super conversational. And it's kind of long, too, right? I mean, you've recorded episodes like, you know, I was looking at seven of them, like 2 hours and 28 minutes was one of them.
Yeah, so we went with the long form concept, even though we have had those that are like 45 minutes. We went with the long form because we always wanted to like delve into an issue really deeply. Granted, I think we are also, you know, we're basically learning as we go. And I also feel that I think people may prefer closer to that hour, 45 minute. You know, we're no like Joe Rogan's over here. So like recording 3 hours a day might be a little high. But so that hour format, we just whatever topic or person we're interviewing, we really wanted to kind of like delve deep into the topic. So we did kind of go with that concept of, hey, let's do long form. I think our longest episodes was one we had our wives on. So we called it That Wives Show. And we had our wives come on and fact check us about a bunch of stuff we were talking about. And then we had another one, probably our most listened to show, and it was the most difficult to record, where me and Will talk about our miscarriage experiences, because we both had miscarriages around the same time. And just talking about how little people talk about that, and like, what do you do, and how do you process, and how do you honor the loved ones of these, you know, your kids, but like, you know, you just feel weird talking about it in public. And so like we recorded that episode. I'm gonna be honest, I've never even listened to it because it was so like it was just so heavy. You know, yeah. We tell people in the beginning, we're like, dude, this is a heavy podcast. So like, you know, either grab some whiskey or don't listen, you know, yeah. Or just be prepared that this is the topic we're talking about. And, you know, we got a lot of feedback. That's the most we've ever got feedback, with just people messaging us about an episode and telling us, you know, thanks for your honesty, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. So, yeah, we try to experience a little bit, try to get a little bit of everything. But most of our shows are much more lighter note than that show particularly was.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. No, but you know what? It's great to hear you don't, you know, shy away from discussing, you know, things that have real life implications for you and for everyone else listening out there. So, and it's great that people are giving you the feedback and saying, hey, you know, that was a, you know, really meaningful topic or a really good thing. So it's awesome you're out there, you know, addressing real issues too. And it's not just, it's nothing like the brand new Anchorman podcast or, you know, the right? I mean, have you heard that one at all?
I have.
So it's nothing like that. It's completely on the opposite end of the spectrum.
But
we have to, believe it or not, we have to take a break. You know, 13 minutes flies by so fast. And unfortunately, I don't have a long form podcast, Matt. I have to be on the radio. So because we have a radio show, I have to interrupt great conversations like this one and put commercials in and then come back and continue the conversation. So we're going to do that. And right, we'll be right back after these messages here. We're talking with Matt Bourgeois on Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder.
Patchwork Heart Ministry is committed to sowing hope into broken hearts by helping young people encounter the love of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church through prayer, storytelling, and media initiatives. We invite you to prayerfully consider supporting this mission financially. Mail your tax-deductible donation to Patchwork Heart Ministry at P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, zip code 53147, or visit patchworkheart.org to donate online. That's Patchwork Heart Ministry, P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, 53147, or online at patchworkheart.org.
The words spoken by Our Lady of Guadalupe to Juan Diego nearly 500 years ago are almost too good to be true. Asking that a temple be built at the site of her apparition, she promised that here I will give all my love, my compassion, my help, and my protection to all those who love me, cry to me, seek me, and who have confidence in me. Here I will listen to their weepings and alleviate all their sufferings, necessities, and misfortunes. My name is Alan Napleton, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I have visited her shrine in Mexico City dozens of times, bringing my own petitions, and have found Our Lady to be true to her word. Over the years, I have brought hundreds of pilgrims to this holy place without incidents, and have now founded Viva Guadalupe, a nonprofit that provides safe and inexpensive pilgrimages to Our Lady's shrine. If you would like to take our Blessed Mother up on her promise and learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information.
St. Therese of Lisieux's Little Way of the Cross, written by Victoria Clarizo and designed by Just Love Prince, is a beautiful prayer booklet that helps you pray the Stations of the Cross. Use these reflections to meditate on the great love and mercy that Jesus had for us as he journeyed to Calvary. The Little Way of the Cross includes gems from Scripture, the writings of St. Therese, and the words of Jesus from the imagination and prayer of the author. Go to justloveprince.com to get your copy today.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back, everybody, to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And today we're talking with fellow young Catholic Matt Bourgeois. He is the co-equal host of That Guy Show. And we were talking about his podcast in the first half of the episode. So if
which is called, by the way, That Guy Show.
Didn't I say That Guy Show, or did I say The Guy
you
Show?
No, you probably did. But I'm just saying it's That Guy Show. It's not like This Guy Show or The Other Guy Show. There's a lot of guy shows out there, but there's only one That Guy Show.
Okay.
Even though when I ask Alexa, she sometimes plays the wrong guy show. It's really annoying, but we are That Guy Show.
Yeah, and it's not That Man Show, by the way, too. You know, that old show with Jimmy Kimmel, it's not That Man Show.
It is not That Man Show.
So
though we wouldn't be against chugging a beer every now and then, except Will only drinks fruity beer, so he'd have to chug a Blue Moon, which just doesn't seem right.
No, it doesn't. So I want to, it's around Pentecost right now that we're airing this, so don't even pay attention to the weather report that we gave you at the beginning of this episode either, because it's not 75. It's probably a lot hotter in Louisiana right now, in the middle of June 7th,
yeah.
June 9th. But I want to ask you, Matt, just a little bit about Pentecost and also about the NSC service committee that you serve on. They have an awesome conference coming up November 8th through the 10th, and it's not too late to register. Registration's open. So just tell us a little bit about that and maybe talk to us a little about the Charismatic Renewal, too, for people who are unfamiliar with it.
Well, the Charismatic Renewal is very unlike other movements in the church. Like, for example, you may have movements like spiritualities, but Charismatic Renewal is different in the sense that our main objective is for people to experience what we call in English-speaking countries baptism in the Holy Spirit, or what they experience there at Pentecost, which is the release of the charisms. Well, as most of your listeners probably know, since they're all good Catholics and they probably paid attention during CCD class, is that every person in the church has been given at least one charismatic gift or charisma or spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit, depending on how your Bible translates it. And this is, of course, reinforced by church teaching. And these are just the differences. The sanctifying gifts of the Holy Spirit make you holy, but the spiritual gifts, well, they help make other people holy. They help build up the church around you. So somebody with a gift of teaching or preaching, use a gift that helps build up other people. And the Charismatic Renewal is sort of a rediscovery of a lot of these gifts to the average person. And this wasn't just a movement in the Catholic Church. Pope Leo prayed for it at the turn of the century for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit, prompted by Blessed Elena, and I'm going to mess up her last name, so I'm just going to skip it. And so the Pentecostal movement in the U.S. sort of starts, all of that Charismatic Renewal that starts around the U.S., it was always interdenominational, right? And so even though lots of churches, I guess, have formed from it, it was something that brought unity to the body of Christ. And it's a hallmark of the charismatic movement is this unity between different Christian churches. And even in the Catholic Church, when the really the start of this renewal, this charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church began in the 60s up at our good, awesome retreat center, the Ark and the Dove, if you haven't checked that out. But it has always brought unity in the Catholic Church. And at a time when there was a lot of rebellion and even like away from orthodoxy, away from Catholic doctrine, this expression, this new expression of charismatic renewal, to the surprise of a lot of people, ended up being the people that helped bring that unity and held the line between the church teaching and stayed faithful and helped renew the entire church around the world. If you just look at, you know, the seminaries and the priests and just how the charismatic renewal in every country around the world has helped renew along with John Paul II's vision, we really see the fruition, or one of the big fruitions of the charismatic renewal, and how it's managed to evangelize to all of these different expressions, like things like Steubenville universities and these, you know, like you look at your nets and all these different expressions that have come out of the charismatic renewal, of just like, you know, evangelizing people, like going out to the highways and the byways and bringing people into the church. And so, you know, Pope Benedict, you know, gave a very specific instruction to the charismatic renewal, which was we needed to bring baptism in the Holy Spirit to the whole church, because Benedict, as the good theologian, knew that the difference between your normal spirituality is that charismatic renewal is for everybody. Now, you might not dig some praise and worship on a guitar, and you might like Gregorian chant, and that's perfectly fine, because at the heart of charismatic renewal is the use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which certainly don't need to be done with a guitar. You can do it with an organ. You know, in fact, I went to a charismatic prayer group once at a Benedictine monastery. So, you know, your spirituality doesn't have to change for you to exercise gifts of the Holy Spirit and to have this renewal of Pentecost in your life. And I think that's something that is has really come to the forefront of like the teaching and our understanding of charismatic renewal. So being part of the National Service Committee has been really awesome, because the National Service Committee is made up of like all these different like leaders, like catechists and just people from all, priests and nuns and just people from all different walks of life in the charismatic renewal. And it's basically run by these people, right? And so every like 6 years, all these people change out and there's like new people in there and people term off. So like most organizations have like one or two sort of people that run it, you know, and then they just hire and, you know, they run these organizations, and those work really well and they're great organizations, nothing wrong with them. But the NSC is a lot different in the fact that it's very grassroots and we're always bringing in new people. And it's one of the things that has always helped us when we do our conferences or we do like the Pentecost Today magazine. We're always trying to bring in, you know, what's the Lord doing? What's the Spirit doing as a whole out there? And so we're able to sort of draw that in and give that to people. And so we have lots of young adults that we have attracted to our conference. And I think that this one in St. Louis will probably be the largest contingent of young adults we've ever had. I'm thinking we'll probably have close to 600 to 1,000 young adults that are going to show up for this event. And it's going to shock everybody. You know what I mean? Like it's going to be powerful. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. I mean, just so folks know, I mean, this conference has got some amazing headliners. Friday night, Matt Maher will be there, which
is so exciting. You know, we were talking about who to invite to the event, and this guy, Bill Marcotte, who apparently was like doing a Life Teen youth group, and like Matt Maher was like his was like on his core team, you know what I mean, like at his church parish. And I was like, well, dude, you know Matt Maher? And he was like, yeah, I know Matt Maher, you know. And you're like, what? So anyway, but yeah, so Matt agreed to come, and we asked him specifically to come as a speaker. And so while he's going to lead a little bit of like a little bit of praise and worship at some point at that night, we actually wanted him to really come and to talk, you know, at the event and to share like, you know, some of that knowledge and experience. So yeah, so we're really excited about having Matt Maher there.
Yeah, you got him. You've got Archbishop Carlson. You've got even Paul George coming, who does a lot of the big Steubenville conferences for teens as well. So so a lot of the young adults that have maybe gone to a Steubenville conference or two that are now in college or post-college and are like, they'll recognize these people. You know, that's
they will.
Awesome about it. That, and as you mentioned, there's so many different movements or different areas of the renewal. I shouldn't say movements, because it is a movement as a whole, but there's so many different areas in the renewal, so many different and different expressions, as you mentioned as well. This this body, this conference, is able to come together, and this is for the leaders and ministries of the United States that are working in the renewal to come together and to pray together and to worship together and to learn more and grow in their own faith, right? I mean, that's basically what these things are for, right?
Yeah, and so even though we might have some really great headliners, Sister Lucy is also going to be there doing headlining talks, but you know, one of the things that is so powerful about these events is there's a lot of breakout sessions, you know, like a lot of like, whether it's you want to know about healing and deliverance ministries, or whether you want information just about evangelization in general or parish work. And we have just great little workshops and speakers that come in and do these different workshops. I think we're even doing one this year on how to use social media to evangelize and to bring people into your ministry. So, I mean, like, just lots of different little niches that you can also learn from as well. So it's not just these big headliners like you would, you know, have at a traditional, like, youth event. You know, these are is really geared more towards, like, the learning and education. How do I bring this back and apply this at my ministry and my parish?
Yeah, and that's so awesome, you know, because we're all called to go back and evangelize. But really take advantage of this. The pricing is fantastic for young adults as well. So, you know, young Catholics, young adults up to age 35, it's 18 to 35, can register for the entire weekend for only $40.
Only $40. That's crazy.
It is. So the website to go to register is nsccaricscenter.org. There'll be a big splash thing up there that'll say, Come Holy Spirit, November 8th through the 10th. Which is the title of the conference this year. It's Come Holy Spirit.
Yes, and so a lot of the talks, you know, are going to be based around the Veni Creator Spiritu.
Yes. So, you write the prayer of the Holy Spirit that the church has given us. November 8th through the 10th. And Matt, I appreciate you being here and sharing with us all your many different gifts, because you have a bunch. But I want to ask you real quick. I only have, like, you know, 2 minutes left in the podcast as as these things go. I wanted to ask you just a little bit about Caris Books and what you're doing with that company and organization, because it sounds awesome as well.
Well, my day job is I print books. I do a lot of yearbooks, coffee table books, a lot of color books. And so I had some friends who were writing books, Christian books, and they sort of wanted to, like, self-publish, but they didn't want to self-publish. And so I, you know, got inspired to say, like, well, I already know everything about printing. I'm sure it can't be that hard to print a black and white, you know, novel type book with a color cover, you know. So I created this option for people, and it's an option that could cost you almost nothing to get your book out there. It's called Caris Publishing or Caris Books. At the moment, I only have, like, two people committed, one of which is I think I'm printing a Bible in what's the name of that language? Sorry. Burmese, in the Burmese language. So I'm really excited about that. That's for, like, refugees in the U.S. But I'm expecting to get a lot more, you know, books that are kind of like that middle ground. Like, I can print in bulk, I can print small runs, and I can do on-demand printing through my website. So I'm really excited about Caris Books or Caris Publishing. So please pray for us and check it out. Hopefully by the time this airs, there's at least one book up there. But we'll see where the Lord leads us. And if you're interested, go ahead and visit the website, Caris Books or Caris Publishing. Get your book published and still own all the rights and make as much money as you want. And you don't have to give it all. Wait, I think my quote on the website, which I may change, says, get published, not pillaged. So anyway, so that's my slogan that I came up with. Anyway, so yeah, so please pray for that endeavor. I'm really looking forward to, you know, what the Lord does with that.
Yes, absolutely. And don't forget to listen to That Guy Show as well. It can be found anywhere podcasts can be found by searching That Guy Show. Matt, thank you again for your time and for all the work you do for Holy Mother Church. It's truly inspiring and awesome.
Awesome. Thank you, Bill. It's my pleasure.
All right, well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
You've been listening to Young Catholics Respond, a radio initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry. To learn more about our ministry and program, visit us at patchworkheart.org. Or to get exclusive access and early ministry updates, become our patron on Patreon by searching for Patchwork Heart Ministry.